Welcome to the Rev Food Service Podcast. I'm your host for this series, Jasmine Ritchie. Thank you guys so much for listening. We really hope that you all enjoy these conversations, giving us a glimpse into the food service industry. I thought that I'd start by sharing a little bit more about us. We are a consulting company based out of Houston and Toronto that specializes in growing our clients' food service channels, which means anywhere where food is prepared away from home. This current series that we are working on highlights small businesses and how they are successfully rising to the challenges created by the COVID-19 pandemic. In today's episode, we chat with Russ Morgan, one of the co-founders of Kirby Ice House, an expansive patio bar in Houston, Texas. Kirby Ice House is known for its large outdoor space, a great destination for after-work drinks, and a very popular spot with corporate celebrations pre-pandemic. We discuss how COVID has impacted the bar segment specifically and some of the biggest takeaways from this past year. Hope you enjoy. Thank you so much for coming on this episode.
Yeah, no problem.
It's a pleasure to have you. And so the first thing I want to start off with is just, can you tell us a little bit about Kirby Ice House? Some of our listeners are all over the U.S., so it'd be nice to tell them a little bit about the place and how the idea was born.
Yeah, so Kirby Ice House was first established in 2016. My brother and I, we have a background in multifamily development. And so we had a piece of land that we were trying to figure out what to do with around that time and decided to partner up with an operator who's been in the business for about 30 years. So he brought the operating experience, his original concept's called Little Woodrow's.
Mm-hmm.
And so we partnered up with him in 2016 and built kind of a, it's kind of his bread and butter, but it's a patio bar, dog friendly, casual spot, TVs for games, great spot for happy hours after work. I mean, we try to cast a wide net in terms of demographic and be able to pull anybody in. Obviously we're 21 and up, but we still want to have people from 21-year-olds to your parents be able to come in and just have a relaxing time and enjoy a drink or bring their dog. We're very well known for our big, expansive patios. So our original location has about a 25,000 square foot patio, and our second location has got about a 10,000 square foot patio. And so, yeah, we were born in 2016 and opened our second location. We actually did a pop-up in Aspen, Colorado, and then opened our second official location in the middle of the pandemic.
Yes.
In June in West Houston, and are looking to do about two more deals every year going forward.
That's so exciting. So what was it like trying to open up your second location during this pandemic?
It was definitely not the norm. We did not have any grand opening parties. We didn't do really any PR. It was all natural, which is somewhat similar to the original, but obviously we had a grand opening party and we would push on social media, but it was different. We had to get rid of about a third of our furniture, put it in storage, really try to distance everything out as much as possible. We put away all of our bar stools. We're basically a service-only, almost restaurant in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we still want to give the same high-quality service, getting drinks out fast, and giving the customer the same experience. We just lost a lot of seating and had to put in some new safety protocols to make sure that our employees, staff, and customers are safe as well.
So some of those protocols, did you have to change your hours or your cleaning protocols?
We've stepped up our cleaning protocols. We made a list based off the state guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
And so that includes some are on the, I mean, we follow everything on the state guidelines, but we've kind of added some of our own. So on the state guidelines, masks are required unless you're seated. All the tables are 6 feet apart, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then what we came up with our own, since we have an expansive backyard and we know some customers don't feel comfortable being inside the building, we allow customers to just walk through the backyard.
Nice.
In and out, so they don't ever have to step foot in the building. And then we have waitresses daily so they can go take their order instead mm-hmm. of them coming up to the bar. So we've kind of tried to make it as friendly as possible when it comes to keeping social distance and mm-hmm. feeling safe.
Have you had to switch to reservations at all, or have you been able to keep the walk-in ability?
We've kept walk-ins normal. So that's kind of another thing that's impacted our business, is there's not a lot of corporate business or happy hours right now, and we do 200 to 300 parties a year at the original location, and most of them were corporate events. So we're not really seeing those. We're also not taking parties that are over 10.
Yeah.
Just because of the state guidelines, if there is a party of 50, we'll let them know if they want to do the party, they have to be at 5 different tables, which some people have been okay with, but it's definitely just a guideline that we have to follow,
right?
To make sure we can continue to operate. Mm-hmm. So.
What happened to all the patio games? What did you have to do with those?
Another thing in the state guideline was that games needed to be kind of wiped down and 6 feet apart. So certain games we could keep.
Oh, good.
Cornhole we could keep, and we wipe it down and clean it and spray everything down once it's been used. But most arcade machines will have to close, the ones that are right next to each other.
Yeah.
So we keep one open and the next one's closed. So it's been unfortunate, but trying to do everything, like I said, to maintain safety between staff, employees, and customers as well. So,
was there anything you guys had to sort of innovate? Like, I know some places were doing take-home cocktail kits, or, you know, take-home any sort of activity to offer their clients some interaction with your business.
We've discussed that. I've talked to a few of my peers who are in the restaurant industry. Mm-hmm. We don't have a kitchen at our concept, so we allow outside food, and it's a little different. But so it didn't really make a lot of sense for us to do to-go cocktails. We're a pretty well-priced spot, so we just didn't see it as a way to create revenue or keep us afloat at the time, especially during the closure. So we decided to just go the route of kind of shutting everything down when we were shut down, and just waiting on the sidelines until we could reopen.
So as of right now, how do you feel, you know, about how things are going? Do you feel like more people are starting to come out? Are they feeling a little bit more comfortable?
I think it's coming in waves.
Yeah.
So we definitely felt the impact around Thanksgiving time when COVID cases were at all-time highs. People were about to see their family members, so it was abnormally slow. We've definitely seen new trends as well. Our weekday business has been getting hurt because corporations aren't open or offices are closed.
Yeah.
And everybody's working from home. But the weekend business and the late night business has been up.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of balancing each other out. So it's been interesting. I'm not sure how long that trend will continue, but since reopening in September, we've seen that trend pretty consistently.
Okay, that's awesome. That's exciting. So I want to talk a little bit about just suppliers, distributors, anything that you maybe had issues with. So the first question is, did you have any supply issues when the pandemic started?
We've had some issues getting some product in. They're starting to catch up with the demand, but obviously, when trends change, it's hard for the suppliers to know what's going to happen. And a few of our liquor brands, it sounds like a lot of people, it's almost like the toilet paper run. A lot of people went in and stocked up on alcohol for their homes, mm-hmm. which they probably didn't need all those bottles. And then restaurants started to reopen, and the restaurants needed those bottles as mm-hmm. well. And so there's definitely been a shortage, especially in like high-end tequilas.
As far as the business that is coming in, do you feel like your clients are staying here normal hours or longer than they were before COVID? You know, in general, is their visit cut short or is it kind of back to normal?
I would say normal hours. I would just say the hours are different. So mm-hmm. typically our big bump was that 5 to 7 happy hour, especially Tuesday through Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're kind of seeing more of a 7 beyond. We also didn't do a lot of business between 11 p.m. and 2 a.m., which has changed. Yeah, it's been new for us to see that late night business.
Okay, that's interesting. And I think we were saying maybe it's just they think it's going to be less busy at that hour. And
mm-hmm.
in saying that, is there anything you'd want your consumers to know, you know, to hopefully make them feel more safe about coming out or more encouraged to come out?
Yeah, I think one thing I'd like consumers or new consumers to know is just we boast a really large space. Our original location is all together about 30,000, 35,000 square feet. We're getting ready to expand the patio another 5,000 feet. We just feel like outdoor space is just even more popular today than it has ever been.
Yeah.
But our concept has always been focused on outdoor space. So our new location is 12,000 square feet indoors, 10,000 square feet outdoors. So there's plenty of room to social distance. We're constantly sanitizing tables. We have wireless payment options. We've got hand sanitizing stations throughout the bar. So we really are doing everything we can above and beyond to keep it as clean as possible and allowing customers to feel like they're not really going into a congested scene.
Yeah.
And allowing customers to come in and out through the backyard so they don't even have to step foot inside the building.
I definitely feel lucky to live in, you know, the climate that we live in, because I feel like we have that as an upper hand compared to other cities. So if you can tell me a little bit about this from what you know, if you had supplier partners, food related or liquor related, is there anything that you wish that they were doing differently to help you during this pandemic as an operator?
I would say during the closure, we tried to sell back some of our inventory that we received, which a lot of our distributors changed their policy on that.
Interesting.
Which I get, I mean, I can see from their angle where it makes sense from them, because they don't know if they'll make up the money, if the business will even survive. So I understand it from their point of view, but when we got shut down for the second time, we really didn't know how long it was going to last.
Yeah.
There's just so many unknowns. So we really got into survival mode. And so if we could have sold back inventory, we probably would have thought about it.
Right. What do you think, or what do you hope will happen in the next coming months?
In the next coming months, I mean, we've been pretty active talking with government officials and our liquor board, trying to just keep us updated. We feel very confident that the vaccine is going to be distributed in the next couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of every state's prioritized differently, but starting with obviously the high priorities and then going down. So we are hoping things are going to be back to normal by mid-summer next year.
Okay.
Obviously, there's a lot of unknowns that we're still planning for, so I might hope that, but I'm planning for the worst.
Yes.
So
yeah.
Until we really see a turnaround, we're still kind of in survival mode.
Hi, everyone. I hope you enjoyed that conversation. Today, I have Daniela Lago joining me to discuss some of our key takeaways. Daniela is one of our category managers supporting some of our biggest clients at Rev. Hi, Daniela. Thank you for joining me today.
Hi.
Did you enjoy today's episode?
I did. I thought it was really interesting and just a different look into the service industry, not just food, but also into the bars.
Yeah, definitely. And it was your idea to reach out to Kirby Ice House, which I'm really grateful for, because like you said, it was a good choice to kind of figure out what's happening within the bar segment. The bar segment was impacted, some would say like even harder than others. And in some states, you know, they're still not even allowed to be open. So what made you think of them for this interview?
Well, Kirby's Ice House is actually, I drive past their upper Kirby location quite frequently. And so it just was always like top of mind, and like thinking about how bars have been impacted throughout the pandemic, like you said, especially since they're kind of one of the last kind of sectors to kind of open up again in a lot of states. So I was just curious like how they've been able to adapt to the state guidelines to be able to open up again. And I also knew about them opening up their second location. And so I was also really curious about what that experience would have been like for them or for a restaurant or any small business to open up another location or a brand new location during the pandemic.
Definitely. Yeah. And most of the things he said like didn't necessarily surprise me. There were a couple that did, which we'll get to, but you know, overall I was just feeling like so sad like in general for the poor, like for the food service industry. And you know, I just want our like all of those people who are working so hard to hopefully come out stronger at the end of this. And so one of the things that I kind of predicted, then he confirmed, was the fact that he lost a lot of business that was dependent on like corporate happy hours and corporate business parties, because their space is perfect for that. It's huge. And, you know, it definitely tends itself for that, right? Like after work drink or any sort of corporate celebration. And so he said, you know, that they used to host about 200 to 300 of those parties throughout the year. And now those are gone.
I thought it was really interesting how he mentioned that customers are now coming in later in the evenings, like now that they've kind of lost that business from happy hours, from that typical 5 to 7 time frame. Now a lot of customers are coming in later, like from 11 to 2 a.m.
Yes, I was shocked to hear that because I'm definitely an early like sleeper. But I figured, you know, most people, I mean, to me, I guess I would say like, if we have been out to eat, it has definitely been outdoors, and we've tried to go at times where we feel like it's not going to be busy.
Yeah.
So I was just kind of assuming that's probably what other customers are thinking, but who knows? Very interesting. And that actually, he brought up how liquor usage has increased, and I think he said that he thinks, you know, the people that are customers who go out later tend to drink liquor at that time mm-hmm. of night. And prior to COVID, their sales were about 60% beer and wine, 40% liquor. And now post COVID, it's switched to be the opposite. So 60% liquor and 40% of sales coming from beer and wine.
He also mentioned that they also experienced liquor shortages whenever they reopened in the fall.
Yep. Yeah. And I did like his suggestion, which, you know, was occurring earlier, because I guess they had the shortages when things reopened. But then when things first shut down and they didn't know how long they were going to be shut down for, you know, he said that one thing he wished would have been possible is if his supplier partners could have offered some sort of buyback option at that time, because, mm-hmm. you know, they were scared of just having all this excess inventory. But of course, like, I understand those companies too. And I think everyone was nervous. And so they switched their policies, or they weren't able to do that at that time.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a situation that on both sides of like at the operator side and also the supplier side had never been in before. And so everyone kind of had to adapt the best way they could.
Yeah. And one thing that I think is going to stay for the future, and I'm sure everyone is predicting this, is the need for outdoor space. And the thing about Kirby is that that has always been their strategy. So it's nice. It, you know, it was something, thankfully, that they already had in place. Their first location, he says, is about 25,000 square feet of outdoor space. And the second one has about 10,000 square feet of outdoor space. So it is huge. And, you know, in Houston, it works because of the climate. So I think that if restaurants continue to open up, at least where climate makes it possible, outdoor space will be a priority. And I can definitely see places investing their square footage.
Yeah, for sure.
Moving forward, right? Yeah, into the outdoor space.
Yeah, and Russ also said that they tried to make the space extra accessible. That way they could allow their guests to come in, to enter and exit through the outdoor space rather than their indoor space. And that way people could feel a lot safer in terms of COVID.
Yeah, definitely. I think that was a good idea. As far as key takeaways, those are some of the main things that stood out to me. Is there anything else that maybe stood out to you?
Yeah, some of the other takeaways I got from your conversation with Russ was that they didn't really do extra PR or a grand opening party for their second location in Memorial, and they really had to rely on word of mouth in regards to their opening of their second location, and also that they were able to keep keep some of the game or some of the patio games that make their like the customer's experience more unique to a patio bar. And so that also helps keep the same or maintain the like kind of a pre-COVID experience for customers, but they're also making it a priority to maintain the safety guidelines and make sure that it's safe for everybody.
Yeah, that made me, you know, just I can't imagine what it's like to be planning for so far in advance that you know you're going to open a second location and you're so excited, and then a pandemic hits and just completely ruins everything. And so you definitely feel for people who opened a restaurant or business in 2020. It's mm-hmm. been a very tough year. And you know, just hoping for the best, like I said earlier, that everyone is able to come out strong somehow after all of this.
For sure.
And yeah, so
but also hopefully with them opening a second location, that can also give hope to a lot of people that maybe are in the same boat of trying to open another location or open a new business, that there are still some success stories even despite the pandemic. So hopefully that will be the experience for other people too.
Definitely. Yeah, I hope so. And they're doing a great job of keeping up with all of the guidelines, even going above and beyond. Mm-hmm. And I think that does show customers and other business owners that it is doable. And some of, you know, the new guidelines I think will stay, and that's good. I mean, who doesn't want, you know, a safer place? So mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see 2021 unfold for our business. But I hope that we can continue to sort of, you know, meet different operators this year and see what we learn from them.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you so much for coming on today and discussing all of this with me.
Thanks for having me.